Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that Jehovah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We know that passage comes from Psalm 118. I tell you, Psalm 118, 24. I give the Almighty Creator, Elohim, all the glory for another gracious, yes, and great rising morning. Hallelujah to the King. Glory to the King. He's worthy this morning. It's morning time here. I'm just grateful to the Father for all who made the choice to tune in on Crown Talking Drums Radio today, who made the decision to fit this time in your schedule. You didn't have to do that, but you did. The live time here, where I'm located right now, is about 7 a.m.-ish, a little, right at 7 o'clock in the morning. Amen. It's early Sunday morning, December the 3rd. Wow. The first Sunday of the last month of our American calendar. Isn't that something? This year has went woof. Yes. It's the beginning of another week, and it's just good to be here one more time. So I want to welcome you to the For Such As This radio broadcast hour. My name's Sarepta Cunningham. I have one more opportunity to share of the Father's goodness and his faithfulness on this platform. Yes, during this season and this time of my life. And then I thank him for giving me the willingness to be obedient to do it. I tell you, obedience is key. I tell you, because we can know the right thing to do or what he's leading us to do, and we don't have to do it. I tell you, I want to be obedient. I don't take Elohim. I tell you, you know, you're going to hear me reference to him as Yellow Elohim. God has Elohim. I don't take him for granted. It's a blessing to be able to encourage others and even myself with his never-changing truth. His truth that came and is here to set man free. It elevates us. It brings the very life of the Father himself to the forefront. Yes, his word. It also cuts sin, anything that keeps us bound to, you know, to it, and keeps us in disobedience to the Father's will and to the Father's way. Amen. That's what sin is. Yes, it keeps us bound. Oh, I tell you, I don't ever want to take it for granted that I get to get to do this right here in this space. And in case you didn't know or you need to be reminded, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, you'll hear me refer to him as Yeshua our Messiah. He came to earth as Elohim, our Jehovah, yes, in the human flesh. He came here for the entire world, sacrificed his life, shed his blood in order that mankind can be restored or reconciled, yes, back to the Almighty Creator Elohim himself. Yes, it's just beyond a blessing to have faith, able to believe in the Son of Elohim by the way of the Almighty Creator. For Elohim so loved the world. Very familiar passage of scripture. We know it. Some of us learned it as a child, John 3:16. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, the Savior of the world, Yeshua, who is the Messiah and the anointed sent one, his mission when he came to this earth was to set the example for followers, for his followers, to live obedient lives. Yes, we are to live obedient lives by the example Yeshua set. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession on behalf of the saints. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Hallelujah. He's sitting at the right hand of his Father, our Father, and he's going to return back for for the saints once again. He's coming back, ready or not. He's coming. Hey. And I know, you know, we can be distracted with all that's going on in this world, so much going on in the political arenas, all the chaos and, you know, so much going on and the gay and the lesbianism rights and the abortion laws and so much homelessness around the children of, you know, disrespecting parents and then didn't you see all these crimes going on? You know, I really don't know what's going on. I haven't really looked at the news in a minute, but you know, I know it's still going on. It's a lot going on. Children being disrespectful to their parents and to the elderly as well. Amen. We have to train them. Amen. I just like the way Papa mentioned it yesterday. We need to train our children to understand that who they belong to, raise them up, letting them know who they belong to. For some of us, it may be too, you know, our children are grown, but anyone who may be listening today and you hear this message, it behooves you to train your children up, letting them know who they belong to. Let them know they belong to the Father. He just allowed us to be, yes, stewards over our children. And yes, he did. And that's a blessing within itself. But we want to teach and train our children, amen, that they don't grow up to be selfish, amen, and just be thinking about themselves, amen. But we see that going on all around us. I mean, I can go just to the store and I see a child trying to tell their mama what to do. And the sad thing about it, yes, bad thing about it, they listen. I tell you, who's the parent here? Oh, we got it twisted. But it's just so twisted up, things going on in this world. But I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Amen. We hear about the wars and the rumors of the wars, and that's going to always be taking place. Some going on right now in Ukraine and Russia and Israel. And we know all that is going on with Hamas. Everything that's going on, we're hearing about it. We're seeing it. If we are just tuning into the news, so much of this can be distracting to us. You know what? We don't need all these distractions. We don't want to get so caught up in it that we forget who our focus and our mind should be on, our Savior and doing the will of our Father. Amen. That's where it should be. Amen. So, you know, we just have to continue to pray. With all these things happening, seem like they're rising and they're superseding above, nothing will ever supersede the word of the Most High. I tell you, that's what I love about his word. As we get to encourage with it, we just have to, as his saints, continue to pray and trust that the Heavenly Father, you know, will honor and watch over his word just as he said he would. His word, I don't care what's going on, will always have the final say. So as the Father sees fit, and as I'm led by his Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about some good news today. Yes, his word is good news. And if ever there was a time for kingdom encouragement through the active and the living word of Elohim, and if ever there was a time for effectual, fervent prayer in the world that we live in today, that time's now. So I hope you have come with spiritual ears to hear what the Father has to say. Hallelujah. Spiritual eyes to open, to see what's really going on, what's going on in this world around you, so you can see how the Father wants to lead you, guide you, and direct you. Amen. You want to know what's going on right in your very presence. Amen. As followers of Yeshua, hallelujah, Messiah, and the truth that he taught from his Father, the Father, hallelujah, Elohim, we could continue to go forth for being effective kingdom citizens. That's who the Most High, the Father, has anointed and appointed us to be. I speak his shalom to you right now. Yes, that is his peace. Shalom is peace. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this brand new day that you have made. Yes, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You woke us up this morning, hallelujah, granting us a new day of your mercy and a new day of your grace. That mercy where we not getting what we might deserve. I tell you, that grace where we get what we may not deserve. Thank you, Father. You're so good to us. Help us not to take you, your mercy and your grace for granted. Help us not to take that you woke us up to this brand new day and we get another opportunity to breathe your air. Thank you for life. Hallelujah. Thank you for strength that we have, being in the good portion that it's in. We thank you that we can, our senses, yes, are in operation. Even our mind, our thought processes is intact. Oh, yes, we didn't wake up crazy, not knowing who we were or whose we were. Hallelujah. We thank you for a sound mind this morning. Oh, we don't take it for granted. Somebody that woke up this morning, they might have knew who they were yesterday, but they may not know who they are today. Somebody woke up on the ward, on the psych unit somewhere, out of their mind. But Father, thank you for sound mind today. We don't want to take anything that you supply to us for granted. Even our senses are in operation today. We can feel, we can touch. Yes, when we touch something, we can feel it. Oh, yes, sometimes we might have felt a little twinge of a little tingle of pain or ache, but we can feel. Thank you for that. We can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste. Oh, Father, thank you. We give you glory. Thank you for the roof that you placed over our head, all the provisions that you provide for us. You are our Jehovah. Yes, and we don't take that for granted. Hallelujah. So, Heavenly Father, I ask with your guidance, yes, and the help of your Holy Spirit, that we speak your word to the listening ears of people who want, who have that desire, who want to be encouraged, who want to be elevated in you even the more. Father, you're welcome to take over this time, this space. Hallelujah. Have your way in me and through me. Hallelujah. Take it over, Father, for such a time as this. Amen. I'm just so glad you're here, saints. I tell you, the Father is good. Not sometimes. That's just not a cliche. That's the truth. He's good even in bad. All the time, yes, and all the time, he is good. I believe that. I don't care any time a bad situation's going on, you can still see the goodness of the Father in it. If you put your focus on him, if your focus is not on that situation or that circumstance. And that's what he wants me to encourage us with today. Hallelujah. He wants us to talk about deposits and returns. Think about that for a minute. Deposits and returns. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions with those two words. And by the end of this message or this encouragement or this teaching or by the end of it, I pray, hallelujah, that you will be able to answer these two questions. What kind of deposit are you making, number one, and what kind of return are you expecting, number two? By the end of this hearing, you're hearing the sound of my voice, I believe. Amen. I'm believing that you're going to be able to answer those two questions. You may already have some answers in your head right now, but we haven't even got into the kitchen yet. But here we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, when you think about deposits, probably your mind might have immediately went. This is where mine went immediately when I heard those two words, deposit and return. And returns. When I heard that, my mind immediately went to the bank. You know, this national government that's controlling how our money is funded, been in control of it for many years. But my mind immediately went to the bank. And when we put our money in the bank, you know, we expect when we go to draw out that, you know, what we put in there, we're going to be able to get as much as we want out from what we have put in there. That's just an expectation that we're going to be able to go in and withdraw. Amen? Amen. We have the 401k plans, the retirement plans, the IRA plans, and, you know, all the other currency plans that have come up, like the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies. And when we put and make deposits in those type of funding, we're in expectation that there's going to be a return. We believe that there's going to be some interest made. We know when we put our money in the bank, even with a savings account, you're good to make a dollar or so within a year's time. I tell you, you don't make no interest. It's sad, but it's true. But that's why the wealthy, you know what? The wealthy folk don't even have to use a bank. They really don't. They can do whatever, however they want to do with their money. They're wealthy. They have all these different type of they know how to legally go behind the scenes and do something legal with their money. Isn't that something? Those are the natural deposits I can think of when it comes to it. Now, when you look at that natural return, we've been talking about the deposits and the returns on a natural level. Amen. Because we're talking about making those withdrawals. You're expecting to get what you want from what's there. And then you're expecting a return on your money's earnings that when you put into these other type of investments. We're making investments in this natural realm. Amen. So you know, if we're making these type of investments in this natural realm, amen, when it comes to money, which we need money to walk, make it in this earth. It takes money to live our life. Amen. We have to pay bills. Amen. If, you know, we prayed about the Father being our provider because he is the ultimate provider. Yes, he is. We talked about how he is Jehovah and he supplies everything we need. He said it in the prayer. I mean, it's part of a prayer. I pray a lot. It's kind of like a repetitious prayer, but it's kind of true. Amen. It comes out in my prayers during the day. Amen. And he is my provider. I thank him all the time. I hope and pray you do too, because if our source needs to be in him, not where we, you know, we're limiting ourselves to a monthly government paycheck. If that's what we're limiting ourselves to, that's where we're going to stay in that process, in our way of thinking. But see, the Father wants to change the trajectory of our thinking because he supplies what we need. He sends people into our lives to give us what we need. We have to expect him for the unexpected. Amen. My husband used to always say, I'm in expectation. He used to say one word of that, and I used to break it down for him. I said, no, baby, we have to be in expectation of the unexpectation, of the unexpected. He said, oh, yeah, man, that's a good way to look at it. I can't remember how he used to say it, but being in my presence, he had to change even the way he thought about it, because we have to, you know, we have to be not in just expectation of our Father, but in great expectation, because we serve a mighty King. Oh, yes. He owns the cattle and the 1,000 hills and the cattle and all the silver, all the gold, all that belongs to our Father. So if he has all that, and while we're here on this earth, we're not just going to get it in the great by and by, as we sometimes have been taught. No, we get it. We get to enjoy it while we're here. He gives us stuff, but not for the stuff to have us, but for us, for the blessing to just show on our lives. It shows who we serve. We don't have to walk around with a pity mouth and a sourpuss face. Oh, no. We can walk around. Even when we have things in need of things, we can still have the joy of Jehovah. Because guess what? That is our strength. He's our strength. Amen. And when we have him and he's our portion, hallelujah, that's all that matters. Oh, yes. He makes all the difference in our attitude, in our gratitude, in the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we live, the way we give. Amen. Sometimes we may not be in a place where we can give financially, but we can give of our time. But as we continue to sow what we do have and the time that we do have, he continues to increase us even the more. See, we're talking about deposits and returns now. We're going to stay with the subject. We're still there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. And then when you think about making deposits, we have children, a lot of us that we've raised, and some of us may be raising children right now. We are putting deposits into them. Amen. We're depositing into their future with our words, with how we're loving them, how we're treating them, how we're teaching them, hallelujah, that their life does not belong to themselves. Amen. We must teach our children and our grandchildren that their life does not belong to them. Amen. Speak this to your children, your grown children who have your grandchildren. Amen. Some of you may even have great-grandchildren. Amen. It's never too late. As long as you have breath in your body to deposit into that next of the next generation. I tell you, we're always making deposits. And when we're raising our children, as the scriptures instructed, to raise them up in the fear, when we're raising them in the fear and the admonition of the Father, of Yehovah, when we're teaching them of his concepts and of his laws and his commandments, as we're teaching them as we were instructed to do, never to stop, it's there from generation to generation to generation in the Old Testament, that means that we're supposed to be still teaching that today. But a lot of people come and split the new from the old and think we're just under the New Testament. Oh, no, you got it twisted. You better get it right. When Yeshua came, he came teaching the law and the commandments. So who had it twisted? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had it twisted. All them, they were sad, you see, because they were trying to come up with their own laws and ways. They were kind of twisting up their man-made. They were making man-made laws. And a lot of times, we're still living by them in the churches today. Oh, that's sad. But we need to wake up. My prayer for the church is that they wake up. Amen. And we, the people, we're the ones who got to stand in account, not a building. Not a building, though. And Father said he wants his house to be called the house of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Not a den of thieves, but a house of prayer. That's where we should be coming to the fellowship to get encouraged, to be able to go out, be equipped to go out and be the kingdom citizens that the Most High has anointed and appointed us to be. I tell you, we're in training grounds. We're in life school of obedience here. That's where we are. We're in the dressing room, I tell you. So I'm hoping that you're making some good deposits so you know what kind of returns to expect. See, even with our children, when we have deposited them in them over the years, sometimes when they grow up and they start smelling themselves, so to speak, when they get a lot of them when they're teenagers, but you see some of the younger generation doing that now, they thinking they know what to do. They thinking, you know, like my mother-in-law used to tell my youngest son, that baby been here before. He got too much sense. What's going on? That baby done been here before. She used to say he had old folks sense and something he would say, she'd say, I told you he'd been here before. But we see these things, but he had a respectful disposition about him. Some of these children nowadays, you see them, they just off the chain. They want to run the whole show and tell the mama and the daddy what to do. And as I said, I think even in the introduction part, you know, they're listening. They're obeying their children. That's what's sad, I tell you. Very sad. But when you deposit into your children, you want to see as they grow up that what you have put in them is paying off. You want to see that. Though sometimes it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes they go left. or right. Sometimes you're like, what? It's nothing that you have done. None of us were perfect parents and still not perfect parents. But see, we're trusting the Father. We're still learning. We're still giving his advice when they ask for it. I'm so glad my sons come to me and ask me for advice. They don't have to do that. I'm grateful to the Father for that. Amen. Those of you who have children that are coming to you for advice, count that as a blessing. And we can give that wise counsel, that wise, godly counsel, that spiritual counsel. That's what they need. Hallelujah. Without us telling them what to do. We just tell them, and it's up to them to do with what, you know, they say. Because anytime one of my sons, especially the youngest, when I talk to him, when I see him calling, I say, word in my mouth, Father, because I don't know what I'm going to get with him. He's so full of questions. Word in my mouth, Father, open up my mind in the spirit so I'll be able to minister to him. So I'm just grateful. It works every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just don't know, but we are always making deposits. Amen. That's why the question was asked. Where as I was writing, I just wrote it down. What kind of deposits are you making? What kind of deposits are you making? If you're making something that's not going to benefit or bring any benefits, you need to change it up. You need to switch it up. Amen. In order to switch up anything that we may have been doing in an incorrect manner, we need to know the foundation of where we are. You know, and when you think about a foundation, amen. When I started, I wrote down the word foundation, so I didn't know where the Father was going to go because I was just thinking the topic, and he said, write foundation. I said, okay, foundation. So he immediately took my mind, of course, back to the Old Testament, and he took me to when Solomon was building the temple. Amen. And so we're going to go there. Amen. Let us turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. If you have your Bibles with you, amen. 1 Kings, the 5th chapter. And I know we're kind of breaking into this, but I'm going to start at the 13th verse. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. Amen. Here, King Hiram, the king of Tyre, heard about Solomon. He knew that he was David's son and he had took over the throne. And I'm just giving just a little bit of history. But he wanted to go meet Solomon. He wanted to get in his presence, and they started exchanging things, and it's just a blessing how you could see they had things in common, and David had got to the point where, you know, enemies were all around. I mean, Solomon had got to a point where enemies had been held back away from, and you know, when his dad his father was king, he wasn't able, he was surrounded by too many enemies. He couldn't get this built, but he wasn't the one to build it, no way. Solomon was, amen, and he was full of wisdom. We know when the Father asked him what he could give him, he didn't ask for stuff. He asked for wisdom. My. And we see he used his wisdom. Though he got twisted up. Eventually, he got twisted up, but he was still, you know, doing what he did, what he was supposed to do. He accomplished what he was supposed to accomplish. Amen. So we're going to start at the 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse. And King Solomon raised a levy out of Israel. And if you don't know what a levy is, if you know, I looked certain words up to know what a levy was, like an army. He raised a levy out of all of Israel. And the levy was 30,000 men. My. And he sent them to Lebanon. That's the northern part of Israel. Amen. 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon and 2 months at home. He would work them and then he would allow them to have time for rest and spend time with their family. Isn't that something? I've never even thought about it. And some of these stories I've read through before, but then when you just kind of take your time and see some of the words that come out, they pop out at you. And Adnoram was over, a person named Adnoram, if I'm saying that correctly, was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens and 80,000 hewers in the mountains. Man, he had some workers going on. Beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300 which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. This was massive. He had masses of people that he was over, that he was leading to build this temple. My, my, my. And the king commanded, and they bought great stones. Great stones? What are great stones? Amen. I'm sure the great stones were probably of magnitude and large and you know, big stones. Amen. I can sure they were good stones. Not only were they great stones, but they were costly stones. Yes, that lets you know these stones cost money. They were expensive stones. And then there were huge stones. My, 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 there were great stones, costly stones, and huge stones. Some of the stones that were cut up, amen, that probably had to fit in smaller areas. But remember, the people he had working for him, he had some who were hewers, amen. They were thousands who were hewers, amen, in the mountains. So it was a lot. See, this temple was built on a mountain. It was resurrected on a mountain. Amen. Hallelujah. And he commanded, hallelujah. And the king commanded, and they bought the great stones, the costly stones, and the huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. See, it pays to know what kind of foundation is laid. This foundation wasn't just constructed any kind of way. It had great stones, costly stones, and huge stones, the best of the best. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squires. So they prepared timber and stones to build the house. Amen. But that 17th verse just kind of struck out at me, and I was like, thank you, Father. Stones that built this solid foundation. Now, we're talking about a building here. That's what we're talking about. And then we're going to continue on with this foundation. First Kings, as it went on in the 7th chapter. Amen. See, this was the 4th year of Solomon's reign. It took him 7 years to complete this house. He had thousands and thousands of people. And all the supplies, him and Hiram were swapping. He would give food and Hiram would give supplies. I mean, it was everything needed, the father supplies. So see, like I'm saying, we think sometimes we think our only source is coming from that government check. Come on now. I'm telling you, we talked about who is in control of the banking system and all that anyway. This government of this natural world, look. This wicked government, But see, we're kingdom citizens. I don't care what's going on, hallelujah, in that arena, because they talked about, at one time, they were talking about those funding running out in Congress. Remember? A couple different threats have come forth. Now, that comes to pass, where is your trust going to be? Where is our trust going to be? Think about it. If it comes to pass and those funds run out, where is our trust going to be? Think about it, saints. We better have our deposits in the right place. And in order to make correct deposits, amen, the kind that we need to be making, we have to know the foundation that we're building on. Let us go to 1 Kings 7. Yes, in the 11th year, it took 7 years for this huge You can go back and read how big it was. I just didn't want to go into the detail of it, but it was huge and humongous. Yes. Mm. And when you think about it, if you break down the construction and how big, how large and how huge it was, you're like, my. It took all that manpower and some. Mm. But Solomon was the man to do it. Full of wisdom. He had that wisdom. He always sought the Father with what he did. Mm. And he would always bless him with the overflow to get it done. So let's just take that example. If we always seek the Father first in what we do, how much will he bless us? He said he would bless our hands, wherever our foot would tread, the things that our hands would touch, he would bless. But see, we have to follow his instructions in doing it, not doing it in our own strength to gain accreditation to ourselves. See, we about in this mission, on this journey, our purpose is to bring glory and honor to the Father. Amen. And whatever he gives to us to do, however he allows us to serve him, that's the ultimate purpose, to bring glory and honor to him. Not to ourselves, to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 1 Kings 7. And we're going to start at the first verse. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. So guess what? Even in that sixth chapter, there were still some things. See, we went from the fifth to the seventh. But in that sixth chapter, Solomon completed that total task, furnishings and all, within the house of the Most High. Now, it says here, but Solomon was building his own house 13 years and he finished all his house. I'm not sure if it took a total of 13 years or if it was in, the scriptures is not clear here. I kind of even tried to look at a couple of other translations at this particular verse and I couldn't, it doesn't matter. It just says his own house 13 years and he finished all his house. He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon. Mm. So he had extra housing he built even around the house of the Father. The length thereof was 100 cubits and the breadth thereof was 50 cubits and the height thereof was 30 cubits upon four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams upon the pillars. Beams were everywhere. You know, that was one thing, beams and columns, I'm sure they were everywhere. The pillars that helped stand up the building, they were like columns. My husband loved columns. He would buy columns all the time, something that looked like a column. Got columns all in the house. I tell you, even on the house, a house that we were living, he was the first thing he said, he got columns. I guess his mind would go to pillars, something holding up the building. I tell you. My mind just went back there for a minute. This house, and it was covered with cedar above upon the beams that lay on 45 pillars, 15 in a row. And there were windows in three rows, and light was against light in three ranks. Light upon light opening. My husband loved keeping the blinds. My mind just going there. Didn't know I was going to go there. But he would love keeping the blinds. I said, let's close the blinds up at night. He said, okay, he started. But he would like keeping the blinds open all day and all night. I didn't like that. I had to change up a little bit. But he like, when I see this right here, light was against light in three ranks. There was so much windows just bringing in the light and the sunshine of the Father. My. Even on a cloudy day. You know, the sun still shines on a cloudy day. The clouds just kind of overhover around the sun and kind of cover it up. But the sun is still shining. And all the doors and posts were square with the windows. And the light was against light in three ranks. There it is again. The doors even had windows, apparently. My. And he made a porch of pillars. The length thereof was 50 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 30 cubits, and the porch was before them, and the other pillars and the thick beam were before them. Then he made a porch for the throne where he might judge, even the porch of judgment, and it was covered with cedar from one side of the floor to the other. He just kept on building. What does that tell us we need to be doing? Now, we're talking about a natural building here. We are to be building up the kingdom of the Most High. Hallelujah. That's what our mission is. Look at Solomon's mission, to build this house. And he didn't take any breaks. He did it with excellence. I see now, I understand. My husband walked in the spirit of excellence. Whatever he did, he had the spirit of excellence about it. And he gave all the glory to the Father. He wouldn't let nobody give him the glory. He would give it back to the Father. So when I start seeing that excellence slip in him, I knew something was going on in him. I started seeing him slipping and taking his shortcuts and cutting corners. I'm like, baby, what's going on? That's when he wouldn't tell me about his health and what was really going on the inside of him. But see, this right here, what Solomon was doing, amen, it just lets us know that we got to be about building up our Father's kingdom. And then it gets back down, and it says the 8th verse. And his house where he dwelt had another court within the porch. Now, see this? Now, can you imagine in that 6th chapter how he talked of, some more the 5th chapter and the 6th chapter, how he talked about the house of the Father. That's the temple he built to honor where the Father's presence would be, where Elohim would dwell himself. If you think of it, if you go back and read how, can you imagine how he just described his house and what he built on the properties where he dwelt? Can you imagine the temple he built for the Father? Why it took 7 years with all those people. 8th verse of this 1 Kings 7. And his house where he dwelt had another court within the porch, which was of the like work. Solomon made also an house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken to wife, like unto his porch. So whatever he did on his porch, hallelujah, but where he's setting up the throne of judgment, he did the same thing for her. All these, that 9th verse, were of costly stones, according to the measures of huge stones, sawed within and without, even from the foundation. There we go, that foundation, unto the coping, and so on the outside toward the great court. 10, and the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits, and above were costly stones after the measure of huge stones and cedars. See, these stones were costly. And the great court round about was with 3 rows of huge stones and a row of cedar beams, both for the inner court of the house of Jehovah and for the porch of the house. This is so amazing when you just think about how specific and how particular Solomon built the temple of Elohim for his presence to come in and dwell, and even his own house and anything around his dwelling. He used the finest of the finest. So see, even when we go out to build, when we go out to make these spiritual deposits, see, that's what we're looking at, like the natural deposits we can make in our children. We're teaching them how to groom themselves, give care to their bodies. And, you know, spiritually, we must instruct them that the Father is first and foremost. He owns you. I don't. I'm just a steward to help guard you and nurture you. When we come to realize that, even the more today, in this world that we're living in, regardless of what's going on around us, it's going to wax worse and worse. We still have to do the will of what the Creator designed us to do. Amen. Teach and train. Teach and train. Teach and train. Over and over and over again. That doesn't stop. We want to build the lives of our children, grandchildren, you know, with a solid foundation. Just as Solomon built this temple, with a solid foundation. Let us go to 2 Chronicles. Now, Chronicles is believed to have been written by Ezra, who was like a scribe. Like, he wrote different things and wrote stories. And Chronicles, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. It continued only in the history of the first Chronicles, talking about David's son Solomon, how he came in and overtook and inaugurated his king, where Solomon built that magnificent temple. Awesome, magnificent, whatever. I mean, so many words to describe. You go back and when he built that temple in Jerusalem, and talking about in Lebanon, which is the northern part of Israel, Jerusalem. Amen. This fulfilling, he fulfilled the wish of his father, his earthly father. Amen. Amen. He did that. That was his last request. David requested that he do it. And he did it. He used wisdom, and everything he needed was supplied. So when we go out about our day, when we're making deposits on a spiritual level, because we're going to always have to make them on a natural, but the spiritual has saints of the Most High. The spiritual should supersede the natural when it comes to making deposits. Amen. The spiritual decision, because we want the wisdom of the Father. We need it because we're making decisions all the time. Every day, we're making a decision. And we need to be making decisions that's going to put us above and ahead of our circumstance or situation. That's going to benefit in the long run. That's why we don't need to be thinking it through in our own mind. But consult the Father. Let him get in our mind. See, we have the mind of Messiah. As we've been getting in this word, getting in this book, the Bible, to instruct us. The scripture says, you have the mind of Messiah to instruct you. So if we're not getting in this book and seeking the Father for his wisdom through the word and his direction, because for every situation, there's some nugget in this book that's going to lead us and guide us. If we don't know anything but Father, order my steps in your word. Sometimes he's ordering our steps in something we haven't even read yet or studied on yet. And later on you say, I remember when you ordered me back then and I didn't even recognize this. I might have read this before, but it's jumping off the pages at me today. That's how our Father does us. We can read a passage of scripture for years, over and over and over again. And years later, it just jumps off the pages and it is a fresh revelation. Father has always given us fresh insight, fresh revelation. Yes, that's why we need his fresh anointing for another day. Yesterday's gone. We need a new anointing from him to go through this day. Fresh revelation. Hallelujah. Father, whatever you want to reveal to me today, I'm open and ready to receive it. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles. I was trying to give a little history about 2 Chronicles. We know Solomon, he did have a 40-year reign, and then his son took over. Well, I think his name was Rehoboam, I think, I believe. So anyway, in case I'm incorrect, you might have to go back and correct me. I may have to go back and correct myself. But his son took over. Amen. But we're born to 2 Chronicles. Amen. Chronicles, nothing but that history. You know, it's just history that was written to kind of come back over what even First Kings, what was written in the Kings. Amen. So the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Let me see. Passage did I have? We're going to start at the 11th verse. And I'm reading this out of my Life Application Bible. Amen. And this is confirming what we just went through in Kings. Like I said, Chronicles was a history of all that had been written. Kind of just, So Solomon finished building the temple as well as his own palace. He completed what he had planned to do. One night,
Jehovah appeared to Solomon and told him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place where I want you to sacrifice to me. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust swarms to eat up all of your crops, or if I send an epidemic among you, then if my people will humble themselves and pray and search for me and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I will listen wide awake to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and sanctified it to be my home forever. My eyes and my heart shall always be here. As for yourself, if you follow me as your father David did, then I will see to it that you and your descendants will always be the king of Israel. But if you don't follow me, if you refuse the law I have given you and worship idols, then I will destroy my people from this land of mine, which I have given them, and this temple shall be destroyed, even though I have sanctified it for myself. Instead, I will make it a public horror and a disgrace. Instead of it being famous, all who pass by will see incredulous. Oh, they will see disaster. They will see sin. My, I added that part in. Why has Jehovah done such a terrible thing to this land and to this temple, they will ask. And the answer will be, because his people abandoned Jehovah Elohim of their fathers, the Elohim who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they worship other gods instead. That is why he has done all this to them. Now, this is powerful here. But see, my mind just doesn't go to this temple that was set apart and sanctified for the Father, but it goes to our temple. This flesh, this body. Amen. See, we are saints, set apart one, chosen and called out, chosen by the Father. We just talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Maybe I might have mentioned it in John. I think it was John 6, that script pastor just keep ringing in my head. See, we can't come to Yeshua except the Father draws us to him. So see, those of us who stand, we're followers of Yeshua Messiah, we are saints, set apart. Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So now, if these temples, we're just going to do anything with these temples that the Holy Spirit, that the Father himself is dwelling in through and by the person of the Holy Spirit, if we're just doing any kind of thing, what do you think is going to happen to these temples? They're going to be destroyed. See, I think in another translation where this is talking about the Father is saying, this will be a byword if you don't do what you're supposed to do in this temple. If you don't honor me and give sacrifice. See, that's when animals and goats and all the different types of animals were sacrificed in that temple. That was before the ultimate sacrifice came, the promise, the Messiah. Hallelujah. He was talked about here, back here, but he had not came, that ultimate shedding of blood for our sins. So see, this place was set apart. Well, we have the temple, the Holy Spirit. We are set apart. So if we don't do what we're supposed, if we don't follow after the laws, the commandments, another translation says, which is the law, is the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. If we don't follow after the Torah, the law, and keep the Father's commandments that are written therein, we're destroying ourselves. We've been deceived. We've been hoodwinked. I don't want to be a byword. I don't. I don't want to be my life when it's gone here. If someone thinks of my life,
regardless of where I've been. But where I end up is what matters. Because, see, this race, it's not given to the swift, nor to who battles the strong, but to the one who endures to the end, the one who has endurance. There's more to that passage of Scripture. But the key is the race that we're on is not going to be given to us just because we're strong through battles. We can stand up through battles. Just because we're quick, we have to endure through it all to the end. That's why it's important for us to know and be sure of what kind of deposit that we're making. Because there is going to be a return. Look at the return here that was given, that was instructed by Jehovah himself to Solomon, that if his people did not do right in this temple. See, the temple today is our body. That temple Solomon built was set aside for the sacrifice. And the shedding for sacrifice and the very presence. He said, my presence is always here and will always be here. He's always in us, always with us. We can't do anything without him knowing about it. We can't say anything. Sometimes, some people want to creep at night calling themselves a saint. The Father sees it all. There's nothing hidden from him. Absolutely nothing. He's omnipresent, everywhere, all the time, at the same time. He's in us. Need I remind us? Apparently so. Somebody needs to be reminded. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. See, so it's just not, a lot of times we just exegete out that one scripture. You hear people say, if my people. So see, that was written in instructions to Solomon about the temple that he built. But see, we're the temple today. And if we're called by his name, we have to continue to humble ourselves, pray and turn from any wicked ways. Only then will the Father hear us, forgive our sin, and heal our land, whatever that land of our body, the land of a loved one. Come on, they connected to us. We got to get it right, saint. Got to get it right and live it right. We're making deposits, whether we recognize it or not, every day. And there's going to be some return. If we don't honor these temples, of ours, we're just dust anyway. We're going to return to dust anyway. We're flesh and blood right now because we're living. But we're going to return back to the dust. When these bodies, these temples deteriorate and pass off, if Yeshua don't come and get us first, and we be caught up with him after those who sleeping right now are caught up with him, and those alive going to be caught up with him when he comes. Other than that, if we be one that goes to sleep, as well as the rest that have already went to sleep, we're going to turn back to the dust, this temple body, this flesh. But see, the spirit is the real us. That spirit man of us is the real us. That's why the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us communes with our human spirit to help us, to lead us, the real us. That's the part of us, the inner being of us. I need his communion. I must commune with him, talk to him. I need his help. Every second of the minute, every minute of the hour, every hour of the day, every day of the week, every week of the month, every month of the year, I need his help. I do. Sometimes, even if any of us fall short and don't think we need his help, you better get it together. You need his help. We need his help. Thank you, Father, for your help.
Let us go to Psalm. Hallelujah. 112. Whew, we got to get it right in these temples. These earthly tabernacles. Not made by hand. That we're going to get to enjoy. Psalm 112. Which passage do I have that highlighted? Let's move this scripture Bible out of the way. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful. I got so much opened up here. Father's good all the time. And all the time he's good. Saying that again. Psalms 112. Let's start at the first verse. It's only 10. Praise ye Jehovah. Blessed is the man that fears Jehovah, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. In his what? In his commandments. Didn't we just talk about that? The commandments, and they're not, you hear Mosaic laws. No, he wrote them. But who did they come from? They come from Jehovah. Elohim told him what to write down. They're not his laws, Moses' laws. These are the laws, but you hear that all the time. I used to hear a lot come across the pulpit, the Moses. I'm like, wait a minute, these aren't Moses' laws. I would always question that because I read that he was instructed to write them from the Father, from God. That's what I was saying back then. Now I just love honoring his name from the original Hebrew writing of the Father's name. I just enjoy Elohim. He is our Jehovah. Yes. He's the almighty creator. And I love his name, his original name. Yes. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. So we see here, blessed is the man that fears, that reverences Jehovah, and that delights, takes pleasure greatly, not just takes pleasure, but in a great magnitude in his commandments. See, because you love the Father so much, you love him. You know how much he loves you, so hey, it's no problem. You want to line up with what his word says. It was a no-brainer for me to get myself lined up with the Torah because I had been out of line for many years, close to 40 years. I wasn't remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. I knew the Sabbath, the seventh day, was on Saturday. I knew that. But was I honoring it and keeping it holy? No. I had to switch up. It didn't take no, it was a no-brainer for me, as some people say as a cliche. It was a no-brainer. I wanted to do the right thing before the Father. Somebody else might call me a devil and say, she done went crazy. No, I haven't. You can say what you want. They call Yeshua a devil. Call me what you want. I could care less. I'm going to do what's right before my Father as he leads me by his Spirit. And I've had such a peace in the switch or in the change. But all along, he was leading me here. All along, he's leading us, regardless of where we've been and where what path we walked on in somewhat called the Christian journey. I always call myself a believer, a believer in the faith. I never used that term Christian so much. Sometimes when I was around somebody else, I find myself saying it, but I had to get myself back on track. I'm a follower of Yeshua Messiah. That's who I am. That's what I do. That's how I live. Amen. Whew. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. See, we're living upright lives when we do these things, when we honor, when we reverence, when we delight greatly, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. My, my, my. See, our right standing with the Father will endure forever as long as we're delighting, fearing, reverencing him, delighting in his commandments. Mm. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion. See, he helps us to be even compassionate. You can look at your life and see areas where, you know, you might have not used to be so compassionate, but now you see a change. The compassion, the love comes in. Hallelujah. See, we have the love of the Father on the inside of us. That helps us to change if we want to honor, if we want to reverence, if we want to greatly delight in his commandments. He came to change us, to set those who were bound free. Some of us are still being set free. We're yet being saved. We made a one-time choice, but it's not a one-time choice of salvation. We're continuously being saved, set free, and delivered over and over and over. It's a life school. That's why we're going, we're walking in this life school of obedience. It's a blessing. So we have to take time to deposit this word in our heart. Get it in there ahead of time. Because situations, storms going to come. Yes, they're going to come. A good man showeth favor and lend it, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Amen. The Father will help us to be good people, to show favor toward others. He shows it towards us. He will show us how to lean, how to give. Amen. And he going to direct us by his Spirit. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. See, when we kick off this earth, if that happens before Yeshua comes back, we want to be remembered for the deposits we made in others' lives. That's why I can't stop talking about my husband. I'm sure he will always come up from time to time in when I share. I learned so much from him. He was my pastor for 20 years. He was my husband, but he was spiritually spoken to my life. Amen. Vice versa. Has iron sharpened iron. I spoke into his too. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful and grateful he was receptive. He was receptive. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in Jehovah. See, regardless of what comes on, what's going on around us in this world, a bunch of evil, a bunch of mess. Some of us right in our own home, in our own household, in our own family, going on. Some evilness. But see, we're not afraid of it. Our heart is fixed up. It's already set. My. When your heart is fixed, that means it's pretty much established, or it's pretty much stable. It's firm. Nothing can shake that. Mm. It's trusting in Jehovah. His heart is established. There's that word. That even fixed means established. When you look at the word established, that word meant, you know, it's at rest. It's supported. Ah, my. It's sustained. Isn't this powerful? His heart is at rest. He shall not be afraid. Until, there's that word afraid again. Until he see his desire upon his enemy. See, the enemy's under our feet. Regardless of how we see him at work, as he does work through people, just like the Father works through people, that devil, when he's a vessel, he works through people sometimes. Yes. But see, that enemy will be defeated. We have to take authority in that enemy that's working through that individual, especially if it's somebody that's right at you or right in your immediate sphere. You're not calling them the devil, but you see that devil at work in them. But see, we're not afraid about that. We'll see the desire upon the enemy. We will see the enemy exposed, exonerated under our feet. Hallelujah. He has dispersed. Yeah, continue to give. He has given. He has dispersed. You continue to just give out over and over to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see that and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Isn't that awesome? When we honor, hallelujah, show reverence unto the Father, hallelujah, our Yahweh, and we delight in his commandments, he promises here. It's a whole lot more that comes. They're even written in the New Testament about the promise. Keep his commandments. Yeshua came instructing that over and over. But see, the Jews, and I don't know who named them the Jews. The Father didn't. But they came up with their own traditional laws and rules. And when Yeshua came talking about what the Father said, now you already know this, but you're doing this. You're doing your own thing. See, that's happening now. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Help us to get this truth in us and understand what's really going on. My. Help us. We need your help. You are our helper. See, if we're not making the right deposit, that word, getting that word deposited in our heart, when situation and circumstance come up later on, when we need it, we won't have it. No deposit, guess what? No return. Ha! Oh, yeah. If we're not making any deposit, we're not going to get any return in this word. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Matthew as we're closing out. Amen. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Oh, my. And this is very familiar passage of scripture. This is Yeshua talking. I want to read this out of the Amplified. Start with the 24th verse. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now, we're talking about a rock here. A rock is a hard piece of material. We talk about all those stones. Remember those stones that Solomon laid for the temple? For the temple of Jehovah and the temple of his own palace? My. Talk about them stones, that rock built upon a solid rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Well, who is that solid foundation? Who is that rock we need to be building upon? Yeshua Messiah. He's our example. Hallelujah. The Father sent him to show us how to walk, how to talk, how to live, how to give. He sent him here for us. He's our rock and our fortress. A very present help in time of trouble. And everyone, the 26th verse, who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it. When Yeshua had finished these things, the Sermon on the Mount, of course, the crowd were astonished and overwhelmed and bewildered with wonder at his teaching. Ha! For he was teaching as one who had and was authority and not as did the scribes. Ha! My. See, they had been hearing the teachings of man, the scribes and the Pharisees. But Yeshua came on the scene teaching about what his father said. Ha! My. Teaching the law and commandments. He had been given instruction. See, that's why we have to get in here to know what it's saying to us. So we will know how we are to live, give, how we are to move. Because it's in him that we live and move and have our very being. He's why we're existing today. He's why we're here today. Even those who's listening, whether you're listening live, or you're listening to the recorded broadcast at a later time. It doesn't matter. He sent you here. You needed to hear this today. Amen. I needed to hear this today because he's imparting as I'm giving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Continuing to download. Yes. Upload as I download. That's what he's doing. He's uploading as he's giving me the download. He'll do that for us all. He's not a respecter person.
See, my thing is, I just want to encourage us that we don't want to be making deposits in the wrong area, in the wrong areas. We don't want our focus to be in the wrong place. Amen. Because if we are not rooted and grounded in that firm, solid foundation, we talked about the foundation. We know who that foundation, who the foundation is that was laid, hallelujah, that we will build up. Even he told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia, my assembly. Hallelujah. He's not calling Peter, but Peter, he wasn't calling him the rock or the Petra. That's what that word is in the Greek, a strong rock, or it can be an example. That rock Petra also can mean a person that has a strong way about them, a strong, you know, about their character, the way they are. And see, strength is in Jehovah himself, Yeshua, the Yeshua Messiah. That's where we get our strength from, in trusting him, in believing in him. He strengthens us. Say the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. It's not the building. We're the building. We're the temple. We are the called out one. We're the church or the ecclesia. We are the, you know, we meet in the assembly, but we are the one who bring his presence. Amen. We bring his light. We bring his refreshing. We bring his aura. So sometimes if you catch somebody staring at you, that's okay. They're not really looking at you. They're looking at the glory that's on you. And it's not your glory. Ha! Let's not get that twisted. It's the glory of the Most High. Amen. So I don't know what you might be dealing with or going through right now, this very moment. And it really doesn't matter. The Father has it. He just wants to make sure. You know, he's already given us the victory. Victory's already been won, even in whatever it is. Remember that. But we have to be equipped ahead of time with deposits in our spiritual bank account. Because we're expecting returns. We're expecting, we're in great expectation as we call on him for him to hear us and answer our prayers. We're in great expectation for him to manifest his miracles that he has not stopped manifesting. But the problem is a lot of us have stopped believing for his miracles. He's still restoring limbs. He is. He's still doing that. In a lot of foreign countries, but he's doing it. Because our faith has dwindled down significantly in the U.S. It really has. Because we're distracted. And we think we're just living, you know, we're not living according to that anymore. He doesn't perform miracles anymore. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. See, when we spend time building on a solid foundation in the word, when the storm comes, like this talked about, the storm, the flood, this last passage of scripture we just read, the flood, the wind, the hurricanes in life come, the tsunamis come in our life, seem like they're going to overtake us. There's a promise even with that. Though you go through the floods or the water, go through the fire, I'm right there with you. They won't overtake you. My. That's awesome. The Father has already given these promises ahead of time. Those were written in the Old Testament. See, when the storms come, we're able to stand because we have deposited the word of the Most High into our life. Now it's time to build a rock solid foundation. build it on the rock. Let it stand on the rock. Don't wait till something comes. We need to do it ahead of time. Ahead of time. Prepare ahead of time. Amen. You don't know when you're going to need what he's putting in you. Get it now. Amen. We have to stay rooted and grounded in the word. That's the only way we're going to be able to stand. He said, having done all to stand, stand firmly in your place. We have to put on this, the whole armor. Hallelujah. We have the armor. But do we know what that armor is? Do we know what that armor is? Amen. He tells us to put on the whole armor that we will be able to be equipped to go about. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that right quick. Finally, my brother, be strong in Jehovah and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of Elohim that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because, yes, he's coming with some tricks and some schemes. Going to try to throw you off. But we have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I tell you, we have to. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim that you will be able to withstand in the evil day. And have done all to stand. Stand. Just said that. Amen. Just wanted to reemphasize it again. And that's my encouragement. That's our encouragement to us today. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Amen. We want the word to flow out of us every time. In the midst of a storm. In the midst of a flood. We want that word. Hallelujah. To flow out. In power. In power. So start making some deposits today. And remember, I hope you have the answer to what kind of deposits you are making and what kind of returns you are expecting. I expect the King of Kings to move in every situation, in every circumstance that pops up that he knows about. That I may not know is going to happen. He knows it all. He knows what we're walking through right now. What we're going to be walking through. That's what I said. Walking through. Hallelujah. No deposits. Ha. No returns. I pray this teaching or message was a blessing unto you today. I pray you did have spiritual ears to hear. And spiritual eyes to see. So you can know. How to act, not react, as kingdom citizens in the world that we live in today. Hallelujah. I speak his shalom, peace over you as we close out in prayer. 5 minutes. I'm going to unmute the line right quick before we close out. If anyone has a comment or a question or a prayer request, I'd be more than happy to stand in agreement with you. Other than that, we will close out in prayer. The lines are unmuted.
Praise God. Praise Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ. I thank you for that word, Evangelist Cunningham. I thank you because as you were talking about that word, I thought of Jesus Christ when he was a boy and how he went about doing his father's business when his parents were at the Passover and how they went looking for him And when they didn't catch up with him, he said, you know, in other words, can't you see I'm about my father's business? My father's business. And, you know, I think about Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians 2 and 20, where it tells us that the church, in other words, was built on the apostles, by the apostles and the prophets, but on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And when I think about that rock you're talking about, that is the foundation that we, the called out ones, Ecclesiastic, the called out ones, and some of people might say, called out of what? We called out of everything.
Yeah.
And so when I think about that, the foundation has already been built for us.
Yeah.
And so that
already been laid.
It's already been laid.
Yeah.
And so that all we have to do is sow seed. Not sow seed of discourse, but sow seed that will build up the kingdom.
That's it.
We're kingdom builders.
No deposit, no return.
No deposit, no return. So
that's
when
right.
we go around sowing, even sowing the word of God, it says the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of God will never fade. So this is what I sow. This is what I sow. And that's what I expect in return is God's kingdom. The kingdom of God right here.
Hallelujah.
To be built
Thank
up
you,
with followers. Who would serve Jesus, serve God, the Most High God, in spirit and in truth. And so I thank
Hallelujah.
You for that word. Bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Bless you, my
Shalom.
Sister. Hallelujah. Bless Shalom. To Jehovah be all the glory. Amen. We're going to go
Amen.
Get prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you this morning for your deposit, and thank you that we, the deposit you made into us to encourage us to continue to deposit. Hallelujah.
Yes.
To be filled up in you.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
To continue to seek your face, Yeshua Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you that you have laid that foundation. You are the solid rock on which we stand.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All of the ground is sinking sand. And we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. That you encouraged us to make sure of what kind of deposit that we are depositing. Yes. So we will know what we're going to get in expectation. Father, we just thank you.
Yes.
We give you praise as we go about this day and this week. We thank you for going forth before us and keeping us in every area of our way. We love you. We appreciate you. We worship and adore you. And it's in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And to you, Father, be all the glory. Go in his shalom. Until the next broadcast. Shalom, shalom. Shalom,
shalom. Shalom. Shalom.